Doom doo 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 doom doo doo. Hi, plant people. Welcome to episode 7 of Bloom and Grow Radio. Holy moly, I can't believe that we are on episode 7 already of Bloom and Grow Radio. Before we start the plant chat with my amazing guest today, I just wanted to take a quick minute and thank you, and let all of my amazing plant people listeners know that I am so freaking thankful to all of you and the overwhelming support you guys have shown me on Instagram, through my website, emailing me, and taking the time to write the amazing reviews you guys have shared for me on iTunes and giving me those 5-star ratings. Those are so important for Bloom and Grow to succeed, and I'm just so freaking thankful for you guys to take the time to do those things. So you're just the best. I just want to let you guys know I literally spend every day just thinking about different ideas for shows that I think you're going to love, and I'm just totally in love with this idea. So please tell all your friends about Bloom and Grow Radio, and let's make an army of plant people focused on blooming and growing. The dream. Anyway, enough mushy stuff, and let's get on to our amazing guest. Olena Shimahalo joins us today to talk about her incredible urban jungle that you all probably have already seen through her drool-worthy photographs on Instagram. Her account name is The Operating System. Olena is going to be giving us the inside scoop on the creation of her space, her thriving Etsy business where she sells cuttings of her own exotic plants, and then she's going to give us a great propagating 101 lesson for anyone who's interested in experimenting with this fun practice. For anybody who doesn't know what propagating is, great, I didn't know what it was 2 months ago, but essentially propagating a plant is when you make an entirely new plant out of one of the already existing ones you have. It's awesome. Great way to just make more free plants for yourself. And Olena is a complete pro at it and shares her tips with us. All right, I think that's enough of a teaser. Let's get on to the plant chat. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Hello, Olena. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me today.
Yeah, of course.
I'm so excited to have you on the show because I think that you are such an interesting person. You're a plant mom slash art director slash Etsy shop propagator holder. and I'm just so interested to hear about how you got here. The first thing we should talk about is your name, The Operating System on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Where does that name come from?
That developed a long time ago when I was still in university. I realized that I had a huge love for science that was being kind of unfulfilled while I was in art school.
Okay.
And so I started doing all these things on my own that were science related. And it's kind of a play on my name that's kind of silly, but yeah.
Right, because you're Olena Shmahalo, OS,
yeah.
and then operating
yeah.
system. Very cool. So you have a degree in art. Where'd you go to school?
I went to SVA, actually, right here in New York.
Oh, cool. And so that's kind of perfect. So your degree is in art, but you're working for like the coolest science magazine out there.
Yeah, yeah. I got lucky a few years back. They actually had a job opening for an art director, and I emailed them and was like, hey, I'm perfect for this job.
Right.
So
that's amazing. Yeah. Do you want to talk about where you work?
Yeah. So Quantum Magazine is actually part of the Simons Foundation. So the Simons, they do a lot of funding in basic science research as well as autism. And we're basically one of their outreach programs. So just to get news out to people about basic science, so anything that doesn't have applications right away, like it wouldn't be technology or medicine, but anything that's basically science for the sake of science, to just learn more about our universe.
The nerdy, the nerdiest of science, the like yeah. nerdiest of sciences.
Exactly. So that's what we report on.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And what is your desk? Do you have plants at your desk in your office?
I do. I have quite a few plants at my desk. My coworkers probably think I'm insane. Yeah, I have about at least 10. I don't, it's like a mini jungle on my desk. It's nice.
That's amazing. So you have two urban jungles, one at home and one at the office.
Yep.
Oh, that's so cool. So have you always had plants in your life? Have you always been a green thumb? Talk about your evolution, the evolution of your urban jungle, I guess. Like, where did the first plant come from and how did it grow to? I mean, how many plants would you say you have in your apartment now?
Right now it's been somewhere around 150 for a while. And
wow. That's amazing.
It's a little insane.
It's incredible.
But yeah, it wasn't always like this for sure. That only happened in the last few years. Growing up, I kind of didn't know if I would be good at plants or not. I always liked them. I always liked the idea of growth and plants all over everything. But my mom was always like, oh, I kill cacti. And I thought, surely I'll kill cacti as well.
I know, that's everyone's favorite thought.
Yeah.
It really is.
But actually, like, my grandmother has always been a huge green thumb. She has this ridiculous garden in California. So I don't know. Maybe there's some genetic basis to that or maybe not. So here in New York, I actually moved here about 10 years ago. And I did have one of those little Home Depot succulents on my window for a while, and then it fell and broke and died. That was the end of that for a little while. And then a couple of years later, I got a little Dracaena, which I still have. It's the purple one. I don't remember the species name. But that one kind of went with me through everything. And I realized that Dracaenas are really like kind of an unkillable plant. They'll deal with like low light, high light, whatever. They don't care. So I had that one for a long time. And then
the advice someone gave about a Dracaena is just forget about it. Forget you own it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very forgiving. So I ended up moving and I got a few more plants at my next apartment, which was in Chinatown, but still nothing ridiculous. I wanted to do the urban jungle thing, but moving around in New York all the time, you think about moving a lot and, you know, having just furniture is enough and plants are just one more thing that are kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up moving again to where I'm currently at. And it's a space with lots of windows and a nice like southeast exposure. And I was just kind of done with thinking about it. I just kind of wanted to do the jungle. And so, yeah, I went a little nuts.
And so when you moved into this new apartment, that's when did you go out one day and just buy you know, 40 plants, or was it, you know, once a month you'd come home with a new plant and let it adjust and, you know?
Yeah, it was more like a once a month kind of, well, if that, I would go out to like the Union Square Farmers Market, and I really love going to Union, to the 28th Street Garden District. And just like, I would go and look around, and, you know, window shopping would turn into bringing things home, and it just kind of, yeah, piled up.
I know, it's so hard. Window shopping with plants is so hard.
Yeah.
Do you have any particular place on 28th Street that you love?
Just the whole street, to be honest. I just kind of do a little line. I just walk the whole street and see what's new and say hello to people.
I know, that's its jungle in its own. Yeah. For the listeners who don't know, 28th Street in New York is where they sell all of the wholesale plants. And the entire street is lined with trees. It's like its own Central Park, kind of. You can't really walk through the street without being like completely surrounded by plants. It's so cool. One of my favorite streets in the city.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I love going inside the shops, like deep in. And then it gets really jungular. Like there's just plants everywhere and you have to kind of walk around them and like brush past leaves. It's kind of fun. Actually, you know, there is a favorite shop I have, and it's this one on the very, like, I think it's the 7th Avenue end on the northwest side. It's my favorite because A, it's crowded with plants, and B, when you go down a bit into this store jungle, there's a cat there. His name's Sammy. He's an orange cat, and he's the sweetest, like, he's a dog, basically. He'll, like, go up to you, and I like to just, you know, hang out with him a bit, and he gets really upset when I have to leave. He'll, like, claw onto my dress or whatever. So, yeah, I like to visit Sammy.
So you've got friends. You've got friends on 28th Street.
Cat friend.
So your Instagram, another thing up on your Instagram I find interesting is you visit a lot of gardens.
Yeah.
Would you like to talk a little bit about that? I feel like every week you're posting pictures from a different place, which is so cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm guilty of posting a lot of old photos, so.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. yeah, I do visit a lot of gardens. I love going to the local ones in New York. There's New York Botanic, Brooklyn Botanic. There's the one on Staten Island, which is cool, like Chinese Scholar's Garden, and Wave Hill is really beautiful. They have their little greenhouse. But when I visit other cities, it's kind of something that I like to do on trips, is just make a point of finding out if they have cool greenhouses or gardens, because that's not something that's really advertised a lot. Like restaurants and shopping or whatever will be, but you could go to a city 10 times and never know they have this amazing garden. So I like to check that out now.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's a like more authentic way of seeing the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just one point, and then, you know, you can find things around that.
Totally. And you can't bring things home because you can't bring them on the airplane. So that's a good way to be able to go window shopping and not worry about having to bring anything home.
Definitely. Well, at least if you're outside the U.S. Inside the U.S., you totally can. And it's I've done it, and it's always kind of funny.
Oh, really? You've brought plants on the plane before?
Mm-hmm. Plants on the plane, plants on the train. I've had a guy, I came in from Boston, I think, with a bunch of plants, and he was like, you know, normally we don't allow those their own seat. So,
You made your own urban jungle on Amtrak.
Yep.
That's amazing. I mean, the other thing I think we have to get into your apartment space a little bit more, because the photos, I mean, I don't even know where to start, because your photos are so beautiful. First off, I think everybody wants to know, where did you get that chicken planter?
The chicken planter. Actually, I saw it online, and it was something that was, it used to be on Amazon or something, and it was sold out. And as usual with these things, I have to hunt around online and find it. And to be honest, I'm not sure where I ended up finding it in the end. It might have been like a one-off on eBay or something.
Just Google, you gotta hunt for chicken planter on Amazon and eBay and Google.
Yep, definitely. Just get out your Google Foo and bird foot planter, chicken planter, try all the keywords.
It's so cute. For those who don't know what it is, I'll put a picture of it in the blog that'll be with this podcast so you can see. It's adorable. And your desk, I mean, it sounds like your desk at your office is pretty amazing, but your desk at home is pretty remarkable as well. It's your computer is like overgrown with plants.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I love it.
Do you put different groupings of plants together in your apartment? I mean, is there any rhyme or reason to who gets to live where?
Oh, completely. Yeah. So I have a whole bunch of window plants that absolutely can't be any farther inside because it's just too dark for them. I do have a whole bunch of LED lights and stuff set up that are on a timer. I got these cool Wi-Fi timers, so I can just turn them on whenever I leave the house. And yeah, it's really just about who needs more light than the others. And after a while, you know, my windows are kind of filled up, so I can't go and be buying more highlight plants. There's just nowhere to put them.
So talk to me about your LED lights, because I've actually had some listeners write in asking to do an episode on LED lights, and I'm definitely sourcing people right now. But until we get that episode going, will you tell us your secrets about your lights?
Yeah, so these are specifically for plants. They're kind of red and blue spectrum. They're within the spectrum of light that plants need. And there's like different kinds if you want, you know, greenery or flowering, but I don't think too much about that. But they do give off this intense kind of purple magenta light. And I have them all over my room, so that's why I kind of have them on a timer and have this Wi-Fi thing, because I don't really like sitting in the purple light myself. It's kind of very strange. But yeah, LEDs, they're really great. You can use like pretty much any kind of light. CFLs work really well. But I just use the LEDs because they're way lower energy draw, so I can have these things on all day and it really doesn't cost too much energy at all.
That's so cool. So they'll give your plants a little boost.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you leave them on so you have them on when you leave, and then when you come back, you just turn them off.
Yep, exactly.
That's helpful, because I have some lower light areas in my apartment that maybe I'll invest in some lights. Are they cute? Or do they look like purple and blue?
Yeah, they're kind of... Well, the lamps themselves, there's all different kinds. Like there's panels that you can get, or there's just like normal screw-in bulbs that will fit into any normal lighting fixture. So,
Very interesting. And your bed is like the most magical, most whimsical bed ever.
Thanks.
Where did you come up with the idea to do so? For those who haven't seen it, Elena's bed, maybe you want to explain it, but it's in this like tiny little nook mm-hmm. of an area. Like your bed fits perfectly in these three walls, and you have like gauze and like plants just cascading everywhere. It's so beautiful. So can you talk a little bit about how you came up with that idea?
Sure. So I'm going to start this in a weird way with like a bit of relationship advice.
Please.
I had my 7-year anniversary yesterday with my
Congratulations.
Boyfriend.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thanks. And we both definitely attribute part of our wonderful relationship to the fact that we have two bedrooms. So we just kind of, yeah, New York, like your living space is bound to be tiny no matter what you're doing. And instead of like going for places that are one bedroom, big living room, we're like, we don't care about the living room, but like, I really need you to be over there in your own space when you're yelling about video games and vice versa. So yeah, we kind of just have our own space that we can go to if we want. And so last time when we were living in Chinatown, I had the bigger room, and this time I gave him the bigger room, and I took this tiny room that in a normal house in the suburbs would just be a walk-in closet or smaller. So I thought, if I'm going to deal with this tiny room, I have to make it really cute and comfortable. So yeah, that's really the reason for it, just trying to work with that space.
Did you build those shelves that all the plants are on yourself, or did you buy them?
The shelf above my bed is actually a really cheap, like $12 shoe rack. So it already had
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it already had the holes in it. I just took some string measured it out and ran it through the holes that were already in there and hung it up, and that's it. Just some of those drywall anchors and 75-pound hooks, and that's it.
That's so cool. And I do think that, you know, you see these Instagram accounts and these amazing, like, plant walls and all sorts of DIY projects, and they seem so unattainable because they seem so amazing and like, oh, well, I could never do that. And then you're like, no, it's a $12 shoe rack. We just bought an anchor and put it on the wall. Yep. And then I put my plants on it.
Yep. That's it.
That's amazing.
I'm pretty sure you can get that shoe rack at like Bed Bath & Beyond or something if somebody wants to make that.
Oh, that's so cool. And the you have like butterfly prints. Is there any that are like on the other side of that wall? Are they plant prints or butterfly prints that are on the other side?
Oh, yeah. So those are they're just posters. You can get those at like Paper Source, or I think I maybe got them from Amazon or something. They're this like, they're sort of vintage looking posters. They can be used as like either posters or wrapping paper or something. But I just kind of made a wallpaper thing out of it.
That's amazing. I actually did something very similar. I was obsessed with I am obsessed with pineapples, and I wanted a pineapple statement wall in my kitchen, and I couldn't find the right wallpaper. So I actually found a paper store like Paper Source that had wallpaper, yeah, and I laminated it and turned it into what is now the backsplash for my kitchen.
Nice.
Yeah. Another DIY where it's like you think that you can't really do it, and then you're like, oh no, this isn't that hard.
Oh yeah. That's the whole thing with having plants, I think, is like looking at things a different way and using things that aren't normally planters or just aren't normally plant shelves. Just being creative.
Now, the things that you use that aren't planters, do you just put, if they don't have drainage, do you just put like pebbles in the bottom?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes it depends. If you have something small like a teacup, you really don't need drainage, or at least, mm-hmm, I don't. Like, my house is pretty warm and it tends to dry out in time. If you're going with something bigger, I would recommend getting some diamond drill bits and actually drilling it if it's ceramic. Yeah, definitely don't go too big without drainage.
That sounds fancy. That sounds like a fancy DIY.
Oh, not too fancy. Diamond drill bits are actually pretty cheap. So,
really?
Yeah.
Okay, something to look into. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There. I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, Plant Friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. And I love what you just said, how plants make you have a different perspective. That's been a big part of my journey with like learning all these lessons from my plants. I know I sound crazy when I say that, but are there any like lessons that, you know, caring for a plant has taught you, or any, like, how do you feel like plants have improved your life, like on a larger scope than just, you know, watering?
They definitely do. They make me so happy, like when spring comes around and I see all these new things growing and popping up, and even if I know I've abused them a little bit, but they're still growing. That makes me feel good. And just kind of patience, and you know, plants are super slow to react to anything and they kind of take their time doing things. So to reap the rewards, so to speak, it takes a while, and it's kind of nice to slow down and do things like water and just play in the dirt or whatever. That, you know, I'm usually on the computer at work and then I'm on the computer at home, and it's nice to go back to the earth, literally.
Totally. That's so beautiful. Yeah. Even in an apartment, you know, just to like play with your dirt and then just know that you can sweep it up after, you know? I think when you live in a city, it's so easy to like get so obsessed with staying clean and, you know, always being on your computer, being connected to your iPhones or whatever. So that's a beautiful realization you just shared. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about your Etsy store, because sure. I had no idea you could buy plants on Etsy until I started following you and seeing everything that you sell. And what a cool little side hustle you've created. Can you talk a little bit about how that came to be? Where'd you get that idea? And you know, how you've kind of grown that business?
Sure. Actually, I've bought plants online for a long time. They're kind of funny because, as you know, they'll react to something. Like, you do one thing wrong and it'll just die, or you forget one watering and try it out. But you can ship them, which I always found kind of funny. They do okay. You just kind of have to baby them after the fact and let them adjust to higher light levels over time. But yeah, they're totally cool with like just going in a box for a few days. So yeah, plants are kind of amazing that way. I would buy plants on eBay all the time, and that wasn't a huge thing, I think, until Instagram. And then I started noticing that like I would lose plants in auctions, and some of my Instagram friends would have them all of a sudden, and it's just kind of hilarious.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh,
you got it. Yeah. So yeah, selling plants online, not a new thing, definitely. My Etsy, personally, I started it because I wanted to make these enamel pins.
Yes, the Monstera witch hat.
Being sold right now. Yep. Yeah, so that was just a fun project that I wanted to do and just a way to sell that. And then I also have all these cuttings around my house of plants that I'm trimming back just to keep them full or whatever, all these things. So it's really just for fun, just to kind of get rid of all these cuttings and free up my glasses again.
Has it been fun for you to connect with the people that you sell with? I mean, is there any like real interaction there, or is it really just more they buy it on Etsy and then you send it?
Yeah, totally. Some people I don't hear from, some people I do, and I see like the plants are growing really well for them, or even just friends that I've traded with. It's cool to see like something I gave them that's growing really well in their home. So it's pretty nice.
You're spreading the love.
Yeah.
And that's the plant community. I feel like everybody wants to trade and share and, you know, talk about stories and, you know, all those. It's such a generous and like engaged community.
Totally. It's super nice. That's another way that it kind of changed my life in a way. I made all these friends all over the world that I normally wouldn't have known these people at all, but we just like plants and connect on that basis.
And you've just connected with them via Instagram or via your Etsy shop?
Yep. Yeah, just via Instagram mostly. Yeah.
That's so cool. So if I was, so say I was to buy a plant of yours from Etsy, you ship it to me. How do you wrap it in wet paper towels?
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ways to do it, but I just, I typically just wrap them in paper towels and then put them in a little sandwich bag. So they stay kind of moist for a few days, and yeah, that's about it.
And then when I get it, do I just put it right in dirt, or do I have to put it in water and let it root a little bit more and then put it in dirt?
So for the plants that don't have very good roots yet, I do recommend that people just leave them in water first for a while, or even semi-permanently, they can just live in water for a long time. But for others, some of them do have really nice roots and are kind of ready to pot up. After a bit. So I actually recommend that you leave them in water for the first few days just so they can kind of get accustomed. Shipping is really stressful, even though they do okay. Actually potting up from water to soil can be kind of difficult because they're used to having all that water all the time. And then when you put them in soil, you kind of want to make sure that they're not staying too wet, but also that they're not drying out completely, because that's weird for the roots to have that huge change all of a sudden. So It's kind of a careful process.
And I would assume you just send instructions on how to do all of that.
Yep.
And I was thinking, do you want to do like a quick propagating 101 for anyone who has maybe never propagated before and might be interested in learning how to do that?
Yeah, sure. I actually have a really good book about propagation that I can recommend, or I can just send it to you after. Yeah, I don't remember the name right now, but yeah, I'll send it.
Quick interruption from the interview. The book is called American Horticultural Society Plant Propagation, the fully illustrated plant-by-plant manual of practical techniques. And I'll have a link to it in the show notes should you like to purchase it. Back to the interview.
So propagating in general for most plants is super easy. You just take a cutting and you stick it in water. I recommend putting it right in the window in an amber glass, because amber is the right sort of, it's the right wavelength of light that it protects from UV rays. So the roots tend to grow a lot better and in a shorter amount of time. But that's really it for most of them. There are some plants that you can't propagate that way, like woodier plants, for example. Some that you need to just, say, take a cutting from anywhere and then you just stick it in a rooting hormone and you can do it that way. But then there's others that really like need to be done with seeds or other things. So.
And when you do your trimmings, are you supposed to cut it from any specific area in the stem?
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to describe without a picture, but you want to take a cutting on the stem. Let me see if I can do this without imagery.
We can maybe put, we'll, if you in picture, the blog, like, we'll put a little photo. for whatever you're about to say.
Yeah.
Another short interruption. So after this interview happened, Olena actually went back and took some gorgeous photos of what she's talking about now, where exactly to cut on the plant, and just some like beautiful photos of some of her propagating plants. Those photos are on the blog that is attached to this podcast. So go check it out at bloomandgrowradio.com/podcast if you want to see, have a visual for what she's talking about. Back to the interview.
So if you imagine a philodendron, there's the stem, like the thick part, and then there's another mini stem that the leaf is attached to. That the base of the leaf is attached to. That's called the petiole, and it's not a stem, and it's most cases it's not going to root. So what you want to do is cut a part of the thick stem, the actual stem, and cut it like an inch or so just below a node. So that's the little, bump, like knuckle, where, a little knuckle where like roots come out of, and you'll see like tiny root bumps there. So you want to get that bit, that node, to sit in the water, and that little bump will form into more roots.
So it's all about cutting close to the node, and that's where the roots come out. And then you get another free plant. That's the cool thing about propagating. It's like free plant. How easy. Everybody's getting plants for Christmas this year. My other question, just in terms of congratulations on celebrating your 7-year anniversary, is your boyfriend into plants? How has that been for him?
No, he's not a plant person. He just puts up with me and my plant adventures and stuff. He even offers to help water sometimes, which is really sweet. No, he's just been really good about it. And I have, like, over the years, people, like my friends, will ask me, like, how does Joe feel about all these plants? Like, you know, and I do check in with him occasionally, like, hey, is this okay? Is it okay that we have 150 plants? And he loves it as long as he doesn't have to take care of them. So
yeah, I mean, he's benefiting from the clean air and, you know, the good vibes that the plants give you. So that's always good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this was so lovely talking to you. I'm so thankful that you took time out of your busy day to talk to me about your plants. And for anyone who is interested in stalking Olena on the internet, her Instagram is The Operating System. And do you want to tell them where you could find your Etsy store?
Sure. I think it's just etsy.com/store/The Operating System also. The link is in my Instagram profile anyway.
So it's just The Operating System on Etsy as well. Mm-hmm. So go and check out, maybe buy yourself some cuttings or her amazing enamel pins that she designs. They're so beautiful, and most of them are plant themed, which is, they're just gorgeous. And I'm so thankful for having you on the show. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks again for having a listen today. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Bloom and Grow Radio on iTunes and leave us a review. If you want to follow the Bloom and Grow journey and are interested in more plant tips, give us a follow on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio and visit www.bloomandgrowradio.com to join the email list. And please let me know what you want to hear in the future episodes. I'm here to help you keep blooming and keep growing.
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up, so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya, and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right house plants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.